John. Now, there are four books in the Bible named John. There is St. John, that's the big one there, of 21-22 chapters, and that St. John the Apostle wrote. And then we have the three, what we call little Johns, that's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. I want to show you a verse of Scripture here in 2 John. There's only one chapter, so you don't have to worry about what chapter it is. But it's a very important verse of Scripture, tucked away back here in the near the end of the New Testament. 2 John. And it's something I've used sometime over the years. But I want you to look at verse number 8. 2 John, only one chapter, verse number 8. He said, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we brought." He said, watch out, be careful that you don't lose what you've worked so hard for all these years, but that we receive a full reward. That implies that you can get to heaven and not get a full reward. It's over and over in other places in the Bible where you can be saved and go to heaven, but yet come short of your inheritance and blessings that you would have had throughout all eternity. I want to preach this morning on the subject, some things a Christian can lose. Some things a Christian can lose. Are you a Christian this morning? I'm assuming that probably 95% of the people in this room today I'm assuming that you claim to be a Christian. We had a young lady saved, and they brought up here and introduced her. Where is she? Is she in here this morning? She's back there somewhere. There she is, right back there. A girl got saved in the teenage Sunday school class this morning. Isn't that a blessing? And she just joined up in the family of God. She became a Christian. You become a Christian by being born into God's family. Just like I became a castle when I was born into my mom and dad. My dad and mom brought me into this world. I'm their family. I'm a part of it. You're born into God's family. If you're a Christian today, I want to show you some things that you can lose. This ought to be important to you, and you better take this as a warning, because you can lose some mighty important things. You can mess around and mess around and mess around with this world and the devil, but you're going to lose some things that are very precious to you. Number one, a Christian can lose his assurance. A Christian can lose his assurance. You know, the greatest thing in the world is to be saved and know it. There is nothing any greater in this world is to know where you're going when you leave, because you are leaving. I'm leaving. We're all leaving. I don't care how healthy you are, how smart you are. You're leaving this world. And the greatest thing in this world is to know that you're saved. But by not reading, not praying, not giving, not going, or starting to go by your feelings and getting all messed up, you can lose your assurance. I knew a boy one time, years ago. This boy, he would come to the altar, he would just bawl his eyes out. And he would get up and he would wipe in tears like that. And he'd call me and say, "Danny, are you preaching anywhere this week?" And I'd say, "Yep." He said, "I want to go with you." And boy, I'd meet him somewhere at the store somewhere up there in town. And he'd have his Bible. He said, "Boy, it's good to be saved. Well, I know I'm saved, Brother Danny. I know I'm saved. I know the Lord's done something for me." Do you remember when you felt like that? Do you remember when you first knew that you knew that you knew? Boy, wasn't that a great feeling? I'm telling you, I never forget when I first got saved. It hit me going down Highway 70 over there one time. I had this little OMG, and I'd take the top down on that thing, a little convertible two-seater car, and I'd go down. I was flying down the road one day, about 60 or 70 miles an hour, and I was just going around them curves, coming through Nebo, coming down this way, and all of a sudden, I'd been saved about 3 or 4 months, and it started bubbling up in my soul. I'm telling you people, that I had never in my life, I'd felt some good thing. I mean, you know, I'd never been on drugs or drank or anything like that, but I'd felt some of the thrills that this world has to offer a little bit. And you know something? I had never felt nothing so joyous. I had never felt nothing so peaceful. I had never felt nothing. It started coming out. I said, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, man, I'm saved. I'm not going to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm telling you, I mean, to know you're saved and to know God and to know you're right with God, There ain't nothing in this world like that. There's nothing in this world. Some of you are sitting here this morning remembering when you had assurance. Well, that old boy, he messed up, and he'd go out and he'd get drunk, and then he'd come back and he would repent, and then he would go back and he would get drunk, and then he would repent. And that's a miserable life, a miserable life. Let me tell you something. If the Lord sets you free from your sin, turn around and leave it and don't never look back. Don't never look back. Because if you start looking back, won't be long till you'll start wanting to go back. That's what happened to them children of Israel. They kept looking back, looking back. The garlics and the leeks of Egypt. And he would mess up. He'd smoke pot. He'd go out and he'd get high. And he'd come back and he said, "I'm miserable. I'm miserable." I said, "Man, don't mess around with stuff like that. Leave that alcohol alone. Leave them drugs alone. Leave that stuff alone." And he'd say, I know I'm wrong, Brother Danny. I know." And he would get right. He'd get right and he'd do real good for about a while. And then you know what he started saying? He said, "I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm saved or not. What if I'm going to hell? I said, "Well, have you asked the Lord to save you?" "Yeah." Have you trusted Jesus Christ?" "Yeah." "Do you know you're saved?" "I don't know." And the devil had convinced him, because he's doing all this crazy stuff, he thought, "Well, maybe I'm not even really saved." You know what the devil done? He wiggled his way in that boy's life and caused him to lose his assurance. I'm going to tell you something this morning. There's nothing in the world worth losing your assurance that you're right with God and you know that you belong to the Lord. He lost it. He lost it. And part of your punishment is losing your assurance. That's right. I want to say a Christian can lose their assurance. But I want to say secondly this morning, a Christian can lose his joy. You can keep the shout in your soul if you'll stay right with God. If you'll find somebody else worse off than you are and live right, try to help somebody else, be a witness, be a testimony, be a blessing. You can lose your joy. You know what the Bible said? The Lord told these people one time. He said, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Now, when you quit rejoicing over that, you're already starting to backslide. When you quit rejoicing, listen, people, this is not complicated. It's real simple. There's a hell down there, and we're not going. There's a heaven up there, and we are going. Our name's in heaven. Our feet's on the rock. Our name is up yonder in God's book. The devil can't take it out. We ought to keep our joy and enjoy that. Thank God, amen. There ain't nothing in the world like that. Now, the next best thing to being saved yourself is seeing somebody else saved. I've been doing this a long time. And I've lost my joy and got it back and lost my joy and my joy's died down. And you know when I'm the happiest? I'm the happiest ever when I'm doing something for other people to help get them saved. I'm the happiest ever. Now, I mean, I like to eat. We had a big Thanksgiving dinner the other day. Kelly cooked a big old dinner. I'm telling you, I mean, fit for a king, brother. I mean, my sister's here over there this morning, and Debbie, we usually have Thanksgiving at her house, and we didn't have it this year. And Kelly fixed, I mean, we had honey-baked ham and macaroni and cheese, and I mean, and green beans, Lord have mercy, and big yeast rolls and all kind of stuff. And the girls brought desserts. And then we had a time, and we had our annual turkey hunt. We hide the turkey and walk up in the woods and hunt the turkey. And Gagey found him. He was the turkey winner, and he won a shotgun or something. And we had a great time. I enjoy that. I like to eat and have a good time with the family. I like to enjoy life, travel, buy stuff, play basketball. We played ball the other night. We played ball. Everybody asked me about my black eye. My eye's not black this morning. The man's here this morning that did it, but I'm not going to tell you who it was. He's in the hospital. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I ain't going to tell him who you are if you give me $5, Bailey. But anyway, I ain't going to tell them about these people wearing these orange shirts and beat the preacher up. Anyway, I had a good time. Hallelujah, we had a good time. Amen. It was fun. It was fun. You say, "What in the world's fun about getting your eye blessed?" I don't know. It just is. It's competitive, I reckon. And it's just a blessing. But you know what? There ain't nothing. There ain't nothing. There's nothing in this world like the joy of the Lord.
the joy of the Lord. Brother, if that ever gets down inside of you, I mean, it's starting to blah, 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 blah. You think, well, what about that? I ain't going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Woo! Boy, that's good. Ain't nothing in the world can beat that, people. I'm telling you, everybody can have it, but we let the world cheat us out of it, don't we? We let little old things come up and quench our joy and pour water on our joy. Lord, have mercy. I'm glad for the joy of the Lord. You know when I'm happier? Listen, if I could get some of y'all to believe this, you'd be dangerous. You know what? We go out sometime. We'll go Christmas shopping. It's time to go Christmas shopping. I like Christmas shopping. I can go Friday. I mean, I ain't gonna get in a fight with somebody over $5, on a coffee pot or something. And I didn't go, but I like to go. We have a good time. But you know what? Sometimes on Saturday morning we get up, we go visit that bus route. We see them kids. And I see them getting off that bus this morning, and I see them telling we're gonna buy them a Christmas present. And there's something about it. I don't understand it. There's something about when you give to other people that joy starts bubbling up in your soul. When you do what the Lord says, one of the happiest nights I ever remember in my life, I hadn't been saved long. I was about 19 years old. I was 19 or 20. And there was a man in Marion, good man, went to a Presbyterian church in Marion. And this man loved God with all his heart. He said, "Danny, let's go visiting." And I said, "Okay." To be honest with you, I was a little bit nervous about going visit. Just like many of you are. You say, "I'm not going to do it. I just can't go knock on somebody. I just don't know if I can do that. I'd rather just relax and goof off." Listen, I went with that guy, and I was nervous. And we went, we knocked on doors 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. We went and got a sandwich. I thought we was done. He said, "All right, let's go back and get the rest of that road." We knocked on, and you know what? About 2 o'clock that afternoon, I started enjoying it. And I started thinking, "Lord, we're out here trying to do what you want us to do. It didn't cost a dime." And the bubbling started. And I went to a singing that night at a little Free Will Baptist church over there in Nebo. And it was packed full. And people got up and started singing. And when they started singing, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to blow up. I've never been high. I've never smoked weed. I've never drunk a beer. I don't even know what that feels like. But I promise you, it couldn't feel no better than the blessing that I got that night. I'm telling you, I started crying. I was sitting right around in here, and I was like that one woman. She come out one time, slung her foot up, high heel, popped the ceiling, like that. I didn't do that. But I felt like it, brother. I felt like turning gainers down the aisle. I jumped up and I threw my hands up and started crying. Next thing I know, telling you, people, it was all over me. And you know what I found out? The happiest you'll ever be in your life is when you're serving God and doing what God wants you to do. Every once in a while, through the years, I have a lady come to me, or two or three ladies, and they'll say, "We need something to do. Well, the ladies in our church need something to do. Why don't we start a Bible study for the ladies?" You know, I learned a long time ago that if them ladies would get busy and do what God's already told them to do, they wouldn't be bored at all. I tell you what, let's all the ladies meet out here and let's visit some sinners like Jesus told us to do. You know, a lady's Bible study usually turns into one of them things where one woman gets to tell all her opinions, and we wrote and don't even go to church on Wednesday night, and don't want no preacher telling them what to do. That's where them ladies' Bible studies usually turn out. And I'm not saying they're all like that, but most of them are. Every once in a while, the men say, "Well, I think the men of the church need to get together and have breakfast." Nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what the men of the church need to do. Meet here on Saturday and go tell a sinner we're going to heaven. Why don't we go get somebody else to go with us to heaven? That's the way you keep your joy. All God's people said. So if you're bored, let's go visit Him. If you're tired, let's go visit Him. If you're worried, let's go visit. If you need joy, let's go knock on somebody's door. That's the way you keep the joy of the Lord. Obeying the Lord and doing what He said. Christian can lose their joy. Thirdly, a Christian can lose his testimony. A Christian can lose his testimony. Listen to me carefully. The most valuable thing you have outside of your
salvation and your Bible is your testimony. I said, the most valuable thing you have outside of your salvation and your Bible is your testimony. Your testimony to the world of what you are. You can lose that. How many people do I know through the years have completely lost their testimony? You say, what do you mean, priest? I'll just give you some examples. None of these people here go to our church or anything like that. I knew a man one time. I talked to a man and I said, you know so-and-so, they've been coming to our church. And the man told me, he said, he goes to your church? I said, yeah. He said, he claims to be a preacher. He lies. He's lazy. He said he owes everybody in town, won't pay his bills. And he said, and you know what I thought? Man, that guy has ruined his testimony. He has ruined his testimony. And I'm going to tell you something about your testimony. You can get it back, but you're going to be scarred. You can get your testimony back. You don't have to lose it and keep and stay gone. You can get it back, but you're scarred. I knew another man one time. This boy, I had never seen a soul winner in my life like this young man. He is on drugs really, really bad. And he got saved not long after I did. And this boy could take... I never seen nobody could witness... still, to this day, any better than that fella could. God delivered him off drugs. He'd be standing on Main Street in Marion. Any day you want to go up there. That was back when all the businesses were in town there in Marion. And you'd see him. He'd have some drunk or some drug addict over here. And he'd be going through the Bible like this and going through the Bible like that. And he'd have them saved. He'd have them down on their knees. On Main Street, right there getting them saved. I've seen that boy bring 4 and 5 people into church with him on Wednesday night, whole row. I mean, some office looking old thugs you ever seen in your life. And I mean, when the invitation comes, he'd take one down and get them saved, take another down and get them saved, take another down and get them saved. I have never, still to this day, ever seen anybody that could witness better than that guy. But you know, he had some problems. And the devil got in. And his wife left him. Him and her got in a big fight up there in town one day. I mean, she got right in his face and he got mad and lost his temper and slung her down. Then they called cops, big mess, you know, big mess like that. And as far as I know right now, that guy's not even going to church. He was selling cars for a living. Last time I seen him, you know what he done? He lost his testimony. What a shame. What a shame. Everybody listen to me. I'm going to give you a warning. Is everybody listening? I'm going to give you a warning. Some of you right now, if you keep going down the path you're headed, you're fixing to lose your testimony, and it might be so bad, you may never get it back to what it once was. You'll be scarred. A Christian can lose his testimony. I want to say fourthly, a Christian can lose his health. Christian can lose his help. I said this last Sunday, and I know a lot of TV preachers disagree with this. The people that believe in what we call hyper grace say that your lifestyle has nothing to do with things that happen to you, but they're wrong. They don't read the Bible. I said it last Sunday, I'll say it again. Sometimes what happens to us physically, sometimes, is a direct result of the life that we live. You can live a life of sin and rebellion and lose your health. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the best saints of God that's ever been has had sickness. I'm not saying that always. But I'm telling you, you can affect... I mean, it's obvious, people. How many times have I went to the hospital and visited people? I've been many times. Somebody said, well, you go see my uncle. I said, where's he at? He's in such and such a hospital. Where's he at? I went down there and I walked in the room. And that guy's yellow. His skin is yellow. He said, Brother Danny. I said, what's wrong with him? He said, well, he used to go to church all the time. He used to serve God. And he got messed up and got his feelings hurt and quit church. Now he's had a bad drinking problem. Took his life. Took his health. Listen, there's people this morning that are saved as me and you that are out there in a drug rehab somewhere because they lost, they got messed up, and the devil threw them a curve. They wound up messing up and getting in sin. And they lose their health. You can lose your help. Many a man has done that. People always ask me about telling stories about my girls. I talked about all three of them last week. And carrying them, they're on the road here right now. I was hoping they could make it for this morning, but they'll be here in a little while, Lord willing. They're traveling. And one time, Corey, when she was real little, we'd go around and she'd always watch and try to figure things out. And I don't even know if she remembers this. But one time, somebody had a spit can. And they, you know how, you don't see people do this much anymore, but you used to see them, you know, they keep a spit can down the side of the road. A little while, every once in a while they go, they don't really spit it, it just slides out. And, now some of them, they used to have them on the end of the pews in some of them old country churches. Big can. Thing, thing. And half them old women in there had a big jaw full of it. I never could stand doing that. She said, Daddy, why do people chew that stuff? I said, honey, I don't know. She thought for a minute. She said, I guess they like to spit. What a reason. I don't know if that's true or not. Tell you what I seen one time. With my own eyes, you ain't going to believe it. I was about 16 before I got saved. I played ball with these boys all the time. We was at this guy's house. This boy, he's about 13 or 14, 15. He had a big mouth full of stuff like that. He had Pepsi bottles sitting right here. He watched the cartoons. He'd feel like, okay, we'd be talking a little bit. A few minutes, he'd pick up and go, and it got about half full. I'm not lying. I sat there and a little bit looked over and he turned that thing up and just talked about half. That's true. I thought I'd die. I wasn't even saved. I thought, good Lord, man, what is wrong with you? I'm telling you, brother, listen, now, what I'm trying to do is I'm helping you. Nobody can eat dinner today, and you'll work some of that turkey off of you and lose a pound or two. I helped you right there. There's been many a person laid in the hospital with lung cancer. Or other diseases. That was a direct result of their sin. You can lose your health, Christian. Paul said, for this cause, many are sick and weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's my next point. A Christian can lose his life. A Christian can lose his life. You say, Brother Danny, will the Lord take you out? He sure will. How many of us have done that? You tell your kid, quit fighting your sister. A few minutes later, you hear her holler again. I told you, quit hitting your sister. You go back in there, you hear her holler again. Listen, boy, I'm going to come out there and get you in a minute. You come out there, bend him over, pow, pop him real good. In a few minutes, he jumps on his sister again. Hey, boy, I'm going to get you for that. Pop, pop him good. And then you finally tell him, say, one more time, you can't behave, you're going to come in here and sit down. And when he breaks that rule one more time, you say, all right, get in here. And you make him sit down. Sit down right there where I can watch you. And you know, the Lord does us the same way, y'all. If you keep fooling around, he'll pop you. Some of y'all done been popped. You know when the Lord's whipping you. You know when God's dealing with you. And finally, he says, if you can't behave, come on up here and sit down beside me where I can watch you. He'll take you home. You can go to an early grave. That's scriptural. That's scriptural. 1 Corinthians 5, there was a man living in shacking up in sin and he wouldn't quit. And you know what the apostle told him? He said, turn him over to the Satan for the destruction of his flesh that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be scared to shack up and live in sin. Listen, you can shorten your days like that, y'all. Oh, I'm saved, brother. It don't matter. It sure does matter. It sure does matter. For this cause, many are sick and some sleep. I cut this short this morning. I'm just going to tell you this and I'll be through. There's an old Indian legend. This old Indian legend was that this Indian man was hiking and he went way, way up, tried to conquer this mountain.
big high mountain that nobody could ever walk up. And he had this big old heavy thick coat around him, and he made it. And he made it all the way to the top of that mountain. And he got up there and looked around, and he could see, man, I've made it to the top. And he heard a voice saying, hello. And he looked down, and there was a snake, a serpent. He couldn't move. He almost froze. He could barely move. And he said, would you help me? He said, no, you're a snake. I don't want nothing to do with you. You'll bite me. And he said, would you please help me? I won't bite you, I promise. He said, I'm freezing, and I hadn't had anything to eat, and I'm going to die. He said, get away from me. You're a snake. And he said, but I promise, if you'll just take me down there where it's warm, I can live. I won't bite you. I promise. And so he took him up. He took him up like this and wrapped him up in that coat. And he said, all right, I'll take you down. And he walked down. And as he got down closer to the bottom, the snake warmed up a little bit. And he said, all right, I helped you out now, friend. I'll let you go. And as soon as he put him down, that thing went. Got him right there and put that poison in his arm. He started getting sick. And he said, why'd you do that? You told me you wouldn't. You told me you wouldn't. And the snake looked at him as he was crawling off. And he said, you knew I was a snake when you picked me up. Listen, these Christians all over this country, come on, preacher, this happened, this has happened. Now, listen, you knew it was a snake when you picked it up. You knew that guy was a snake first time you took him home with you. And you knew he was a snake. You knew she was a snake when you first met her. Don't cry when you get bit. You know what a Christian can do? A Christian can lose their life. I don't know about you this morning, but life is too short to live defeated, to live messed up. How many times have I got phone calls? Oh, Brother Danny, he broke my heart and he left me and he beat me up. And I said, you knew he was a snake when you found him. You knew it was a snake. Wake up, y'all. You can pay a big price for doing wrong. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Some things a Christian can lose.